the children's church or junior church. It's good to see all these teenagers here today. You know, I'm about the same age they are. And it's great to have them here today. I got a chance to meet some of them this past Wednesday night. If you haven't had the opportunity, Wednesday night's a special time for our church family because we have our adult Bible study. And I tell you, it's amazing. We had about around 20 people at our Bible study this past week. That's exceptional, you know. And then we have around 30 kids or so, or 30 kids plus adults in the other part of the church, and we have children as well. So we just really are blessed, and we're very excited about what God does. God works more than just on Sunday. God works each day and every day. God takes no vacations. He never sleeps, nor does he slumber. So today, take your Bibles, and I want to ask you to turn with a couple of portions of Scripture. The first one is in the book of Genesis. And we've been reading out the book of Genesis ever since we've been here. And it's a good book. But Genesis chapter 5, and then we're going to go from there to Deuteronomy chapter 10. And we've been talking about Adam and Eve and their children, Cain and Abel. And we know that God gave Adam and Eve a child to replace Abel, who had been killed by his brother, and his name was Seth. And we see that one of his descendants was a man by the name of Enoch. And look at chapter 5, verse 21. And when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became a father. Now, this is a different day and time. That might happen today, I'm not sure. But when he was 65, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. And altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. And Enoch walked faithfully with God. And then he was no more, because God took him away. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Begin with verse number 12, and we'll read verse 12 and 13. And it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your very own good." And I added "very," but it's for your own good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. You're an awesome God. We come to worship you today. We come to praise you. We come to exalt you. And Lord, today we pray that you would help us to be your instrument, to be able to communicate to your wonderful people. God, thank you for those who will be baptized today. Lord, what a special event that's going to be. And Lord, thank you, Father, for your truth. And God, just speak it to us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you, how many of you folks saw the eclipse? Now, did nobody looked at it with their bare eyes, did they? I mean, I heard that warning about 10,000 times. Don't look at it. You know, don't look at it through your sunglasses. Well, Sylvia and I, we saw the eclipse too. Now, on our way home from church last week, we were aware that the eclipse were going to take place, and so we knew we didn't have any glasses. Anybody here have any eclipse glasses? Jerry, you had some. A few of y'all guys did. Where'd you get them at? Walmart. Well, they sell everything at Walmart, don't they? So on the way home, how much did it cost? Well, I don't think there were a lot. But anyway, we couldn't find any. We were on the way home from a church, and we just went by Lowe's to see if they had any glasses, and they didn't. So the next day, Sylvia got online. Now, Sylvia, her last name really should be Scientist. Sylvia Scientist, because she loves these eclipses, and she can tell you about right? There we go. She could tell you about all the different kind of clouds and that type of thing. So she got on YouTube and she found a video, and she took a shoebox. How many of anybody here do that? They took a shoebox. Or did you do that, Jim? In the past. So she. Well, I like to get close as I can. Well, there it is. So if you don't hear me, just raise your hand and I'll come back up here. Okay. So she took this shoebox and cut a hole in it and put some tin foil and then took a
piece of spaghetti or something, punched a hole in it. And then she cut another hole in it. So we went out in our front yard
looking for the eclipse. And we pulled out our lawn chairs. I'm sure our neighbors really thought we were crazy, sitting out there looking through the box. And but, you know, it's amazing. It worked. You could see, you know, she had to put a white piece of paper on the back of it, but you could see the eclipse, and it looked like
Pac-Man. Remember what Pac-Man looked like back in the day? Kind of half. Anyway.
I'm so glad we got somebody like Ronnie to keep us straight.
So anyway, so we're looking at the eclipse, and it covers about 45 minutes. You know, it took a, I don't know how long it was, but how dark did it get here? It got about as dark as dust there where we were at, and so we were looking at it through the box, and you know, it kept getting less and less, and it was kind of cloudy. You could even see the clouds in the box, and it was amazing thing. All right, that's easy for me. So anyway, we were looking at it, and
we looked through the. There we go. Wonderful. Wonder bar. Thank you, sir. We were looking through the box, and it kind of came to a, it didn't look like a fingernail because it was looking, you were looking in a box, but you could see it almost take place, and it was really neat. The bugs came out. You could hear the crickets calling out. Even the temperature changed. And when I got on, I started watching television. It was incredible. People had eclipse parties. They some people even bought plane tickets and drove or flew hundreds of miles. Some drove to where they could have what they call totality, where there was complete darkness. And people were crazy. Some of the news reporters, they were just talking about they'd never seen anything like it, and they just gushing all over it. And it was just an amazing thing. And a thought occurred to me. If as many people in America that got prepared for the eclipse, who watched the eclipse, in fact, I heard a lot of people say they had headaches because they were watching it so closely. If those people who prepared and watched the eclipse would seek God, then our nation would be totally different, wouldn't it? Amen. If people would just seek God, let me just take another step. If the people who are professing Christians, if we would all get together and seek God like that at one time, whether it's Sunday morning, whatever, we get together, the world would change as we know it. That's what worship is. It's seeking after God. It's drawing near to Him. It's seeking Him first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The devil does not want us to stay focused. The devil does not want us to seek God. The devil does not want us to worship God. In fact, even Jesus said that there were certain things that could cause his followers to be distracted, and the devil uses those all the time. In the book of Mark chapter 4, he talks about five different things. He says that when you have trouble, sometimes that will distract you in your worship of God. It's hard. This past week, the taillight went out in the preacher car. And so I'm going to try to fix it. And so I go to a place hoping that they'll give me a light bulb, but they'll install it for me. You know, some places will do that. Not where I went to. So they gave me a light bulb. I installed it. Still didn't work. I took it back, got another one. Still didn't work. So I was getting kind of perplexed. I wasn't really very spiritual. Problems, just sometimes you get focused on problems and you forget about God and you forget about seeking him. And the next day I went to another place and they wouldn't help me. And I was telling a guy, I said, well, this is kind of like a company car. You know, this is I didn't tell him it was a church car, but I said, this is kind of like a company car. And he looked at me like Gomer Powell, and he said, well, let the company fix it. Now, I wasn't quick enough at that time, but if I was, I should have said, well, I want to save the company some money because my father owns the company. Anyway, so he didn't help me either, so I went to another place, and there was a lady there that used to be a cook at Speedy's restaurant. So she's behind the counter, the cook from Speedy's restaurant, and I said, didn't you cook there? She said, yeah, and so I knew I was doomed already. But you know, she helped me. I got it fixed. But during that time, my focus was off of God. Problems, persecution. Did you hear about the football coach out in Colorado who was fired because he prayed with his players? That's kind of amazing, isn't it? Some of the things that go on and are allowed and seen as permissible, and then they fire somebody over praying for his players. Then there's worries of life. Anybody here worried this past week? I worried about the light. Things you get on your mind. You worry about things. And when you're worried, it talks about in that chapter of Mark how it just chokes out our life. The deceitfulness of wealth. Some people, that's all they do. They live to make money. They live to prosper. They live to buy more things and more toys. People can get so busy trying to feed their desire for things that they just forget about God. You know, I don't have any problem with people having a place at the beach or a place in the mountains. You know, I just struggle to pay for a place in Eden. And so, I mean, whatever, but the more you have, the more worries you have. Isn't that right? The deceitfulness of wealth, the pursuit of pleasures. Paul says in the end times that people are going to be lovers of pleasure. And you know that the most committed people in church, people tell us, and I don't believe this necessarily, but it affects people here at Unity, but the most committed people in the church today come about 40 Sundays a month, 40 Sundays a year. That's three entire months when they're on vacation. So the devil tries to take these things and to distract us from worshiping God. But God wants us to seek after him. Go to that next one there, brother. Worship is something that we have to determine to do. It's an act of the will. It's not anything about feelings. Sometimes we think about worship, we think about raising our hands, and that's good. That's a part of it. But sometimes worship is just the act of the will. It's determining, my goal today is that I'm going to go to church and I'm going to worship God. I'm going to give God my very best. I'm going to give God my first fruits. I'm going to give God my best. Worship reveals how much we value God. The word worship itself comes from the word worth. And what is worth to, or worthwhile or worth valuable to us. And the more we worship God, the quantity and the quality of our worship of God reveals to the world how valuable He is to us. Number three, worship focuses our attention on God. How we need to do that in this day and time. Can I tell about you, Sylvia? Huh? Well, Sylvia has got a new thing that she's doing. And she loves music, of course. You know that. And so when I'm at the office, she turns up the music wide open, and she has a praise session with God. And I came home the other day, and I thought she was going to be raptured. I mean, she was just in there just with God and just having a big time, and she turned on her kind of music she wanted to listen to. I mean, it was Christian music, and she was just, her attention was on the Lord. And worship requires us to respond to God's word. So God wants us to worship Him. He wants us to focus on Him. He wants us to give our best to Him. If you go to that next slide, it says that God so wants us to worship that He looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek Him. So He is looking down today at churches, and He's looking at people's hearts and minds, and He is saying, who is really worshiping me? We see that God gets pleasure. It says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17, I love those who seek me, and those who seek me will find me. In fact, God responds to our worship. When we worship Him, when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. So as we come here this morning, we want to be very intentional. We want to worship God. We want to focus on God. We want to thank God. We want to express our love to God because He deserves to be worshiped. He deserves to be praised. All right, go to that next one, gentlemen. Now, the good thing about worship is you can worship God at any age. We were talking in Sunday school. It mentioned Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. 8 years old. Could you imagine? It says in this eighth year of his reign, now that makes him a teenager, he was worshiping God. He was seeking God. You can seek God. Samuel was just a boy when he was seeking God. David was a teenager when he killed Goliath. Seeking God at any age. You could do it from any place. Jonah sought God from a belly of a whale. Now, could you imagine that? Is anybody, now, Jerry, he caught a big mesh of fish yesterday. He was showing off on no, he was showing the pictures. And those were pretty nice-looking fish, really were. Now, fish are great when they're cooked, but when they stink. They have an odor, don't they? But Jonah was inside the well, but he was seeking God. He was seeking the Lord, even in the well. Paul and Silas were at midnight in a jail cell, in the inner prison of a jail, and they were seeking God. They were praying to God. John, the apostle, was in exile on the island of Patmos, and on the Lord's day it says that he heard the Lord speak to him. So worship does not depend on your age. It doesn't depend on your place or even the situations. We can seek Him. He wants us to seek Him. In fact, when you're going through the hard times, when you're going through the problems of life, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Draw near to Him. Focus on Him. Tell God about your problems, but also thank Him for all He's done for you. And I'm preaching to myself. This is something that you have to do. You have to seek the Lord, focus on Him. All right? So we can seek Him at any time. All right? The next one. And we can go to Him with our problems. Do you know that God allows problems for us to come to Him, to draw us to Him? When we're going through problems, it makes us seek God. I know Miss Jane, her back, because we want to pray for her because her back has been given. But when you're going through physical issues, it makes you seek God and pray for healing. When you're going through wisdom on making decisions, I know Jim, he's getting ready to go to the Philippines to see his wife and his child. The wisdom, oh, Lord God, give me wisdom on what to do. Lord, protect me from my enemies. Give me strength, because I just am not strong enough to do what you're asking me to do. We're getting ready to move. We rented our house, and now if we can find a place to move to, we're going to move soon. And I'm 60 years old. I've moved more times than a cat's got lives. I mean, my strength has got up and gone. I've got something in my arm. I don't even know what it is. I know it hurts. But I said, Lord, how in the world am I going to move again? But I know he'll give me the strength, or he'll give me some people to volunteer to help me. And we definitely seek God when our kids go off to war. Michael's getting ready to go off to war in Afghanistan. When our kids go to college, are they going to make it? Or when our teenagers get their license. Can you relate to that? Can you remember when your kids got their driver's license? Has anybody got those phone calls before? Daddy, come over here. I've had a wreck. Speeding ticket. My daughter, she was the one that ran into people. My son just ran from people. So to seek the Lord, he gives us opportunities to seek him. And so we want to worship him. We want to focus our attention on him. We want to look to him for our help and our strength. So how do we seek God? Remember, when we seek God, we bring him pleasure. It pleases him. And so the first thing we've got to do, we have to focus on the aim of worship. And that aim of worship is to bring God pleasure. Look at that verse right there, Hebrews 11:6. In fact, in 11:5, he had just talked about Enoch. We read earlier how Enoch had a relationship with God, and that relationship was so in tune with God. He walked with God 300 years, and then God took him. As far as we know, only Enoch and Elijah was the only two people taken off the earth without dying. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So therefore, turn that around. With faith, we're able to please God. So how can we please God? It says, you got to have faith. You've got to express that faith. And how do you express it? By coming to him. It says, because anyone who comes to him, that word or that phrase comes to him talks about approaching God, drawing near to God. It's talking about worshiping God. Come to him. That's how we please God. We express our faith through our praise and through our worship. And he goes on and says that we praise it, that we bring him pleasure, not only when we come to him, but when we earnestly seek him. Now, that's going a step further. That means craving for him. That means just, the scripture says, like a deer panteth for water, so I pant for you, God. To have that kind of thirst. I really believe that we're getting to a place in time where you're going to see some really neat things happen. It talks in the book of Amos. In fact, this is one of the verses I felt like God spoke to me when he called me into the ministry. He said there's going to be a famine in the land. And it's not going to be a famine of water or food. It's going to be a famine of the word. And we're in that place right now. Ladies and gentlemen, not every church preaches the word of God. Not every church believes that the word is inspired. We're in a time right now where there is a tremendous hunger, I think, for the truth. And I believe that God is raising up people and giving them a desire. They're going to seek the truth. They're going to find it wherever it is. If they have to drive an hour or 2 hours to church or whatever, there's a famine in the land. And people are, I believe, are raising up, they're going to earnestly seek him, to desire him. So we please God when we come to him, when we earnestly seek him, and we do that because we believe that he exists. We believe that he exists. We haven't seen God, but we know that he exists. We know that he is able. Let me share you a story. You'll probably think I'm just totally crazy. Is that all right? You probably think that already, don't you? But I'm just Eddie. That's all I am. On March 23rd, we had our house was under contract. Somebody was getting ready to buy it. In fact, they were rushing us to get out so they could buy the house. Well, on the 23rd of March, they pulled out and says, we won't break the contract. The next day, I was pretty upset. And I was praying. You know, problems, you can make you draw you to the Lord. You could draw you away. I went to the Lord, and I didn't understand. I said, Father, I just don't know. And I felt like God spoke to my heart to look at Isaiah 37 and 38. And that talks about how Hezekiah was the great king of Israel and how God had spoken to Hezekiah. And he says, you're going to die, but I'm going to heal you. And this is the sign. This is how I'm going to prove that I'm going to heal you. There's going to be a place on the altar where the sun is going to go backwards 10 degrees. Well, I looked at that scripture and I studied it, and I didn't really know exactly what all it meant, but I felt like the Lord was telling me that he was giving me a sign. The shadow was going to go backwards. And I studied it and I read it, and I even did a Bible study on it at my other church. But on Monday, in the eclipse, the shadow went backwards. The sun, it went from the west to the east. God gave me a sign, and not long after that, we rented our house. You might say you're crazy, but I believe that he exists, and I believe that he rewards those who seek him. Oh, seek the Lord. If you've followed the Lord very long, there's been times that you've sought him, and he has showed you an answer, and he has brought about an answer to prayer in your life that cannot be explained. It just was God. Let's go on to the next thing. We come to God, we worship, we believe that he exists. Oh, by the way, the word exists is the word, is the name I am. Where did I hear that before? God told Moses, I am that I am, the self-existent, the eternal one. I'm able, I'm alive. We please him, we give him what he wants. And of course, he wants all of us. All right, number two, we bring pleasure to God by humbly seeking his presence. Humbly seeking his presence. It says in 1 Chronicles 16:11, look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always. Go to the next one. There we go. This is a verse that most of us have heard many, many times. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Many times it's used in revival services and that type of thing. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. If my people, before we can really worship God, we've got to humble ourselves. He says, humble yourself before you pray. And humility goes right hand in hand with repentance. to ask God to forgive us. It's okay to ask God to forgive you. Nobody can live a perfect life without God's help. It's all right to ask Him to forgive you. He says, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just. I'll forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't try to deny it. Just say, Lord, I have not had faith in you. I've sinned by unbelief. Lord, I've been selfish. I could have gave more time to that person, but I wanted to watch the ball game instead. Humble themselves and pray and seek His face. Look into the face of God. Look into His face. You see, this is the attitude of worship. It's humility. It says to seek His face. The best way to seek somebody's face, in fact, the other day, Sylvia was putting some drops in my ears or something. I don't know. I had a little bit of a, in fact, that's a praise. I had an earache Friday and Saturday, and I was concerned, but I'm feeling fine now. But if you notice, the best way to see somebody's face is to look up. I was looking up, and there was Sylvia's face, just pretty as it could be. You know, we got to look up. We've got to see the face of Jesus. We've got to just humble ourselves and confess that, hey, Lord, I've got issues. But God, You love me anyway. Forgive me. Forgive me. You mean preachers sin? Absolutely. Go play golf with them. All right. When we humble ourselves, then we can pray and seek His face. But also that humbling requires that we turn from our wicked ways. How many people are unable to connect with God because they got sin in their life and they're feeding that sin? Oh, I've seen it. I've seen a lot of things over the years. I remember one time, right after I was converted, there was a guy that came to our Bible, really it was kind of like a small group for you converts. And he was a new convert, and new converts have issues. I had issues. One of the things he had an issue with was smoking. And so he was trying to quit smoking. And he even told the group, the Lord has told me that I got to quit smoking, and we prayed for him. About 2 weeks later, he came back and he said, you know, I think I was wrong. I don't know if I really heard from God. I'm going to just keep on smoking. You see, a lot of times outward things show what's on the inside. And it was not 6 months till that guy had backslid and was back worse in sin than he was previously. Seek His face. I know I'm preaching too long. Is that okay? I'll try to hurry up. I'll probably hurry up. We got a cookout today after the baptism. All right. Number three, we bring pleasure to God when we seek Him passionately. Now, if there's anybody new about worshiping passionately, it was David. And David is getting ready to die, and he's telling his son, he's giving him his kind of his last will and testament, and he says, and you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the Lord, your father, acknowledge the God of your father, and serve Him with wholehearted devotion, with the will in mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek Him, He'll be found by you. What a promise. But if you forsake Him, He'll reject you forever. Acknowledge the Lord. This word is in the Hebrew, one of the few Hebrew words I know, yada. And yada is the same word used in Genesis 4:1, where it says, David knew his wife, and she became pregnant. It means an intimacy between two people that's so close it brings about life. And he's saying, have that kind of relationship, Solomon. know God. You can't really worship somebody you don't know. Have an intimate relationship with him. And then he says, you'll prove that you've got that kind of intimate relationship when you serve him with all your heart. Serve him wholeheartedly. Give him your best. Give him all that you have. Do it with a will in mind. This almost is, gives you the idea that he's saying, think about it as a privilege. Think it as a pleasure to seek me. Well, I tell you what, when you seek the Lord, when you get in touch with God, when you are in his presence, when you see that Shekinah glory, I want to tell you, time does not matter anymore. Time does not, your calendar does not matter anymore because you get lost with God. I went to a concert one time and I got lost in God. And I was just standing up and praising. And I don't know how long I stood up. And when I finally sit down, I noticed I was the only one standing up. You say, weren't you embarrassed? No, not much. I was just lost in my worship of God. I need to do that more. The act of worship is obedience. To obey God. Number four, we're almost finished. We bring pleasure to God when we worship him with our praises. Psalms 22, verse 3, it says that the Lord inhabits our praises. It means he is enthroned in our praises. That's why the devil don't want us to praise him, because God inhabits our praises. And when God is there, the devil wants to cut out. We need to praise him. God inhabits the praise of his people. To praise God for who he is and for what he's done. This is the adoration of worship. We worship God because of what he has done for us and who he is, and that he is holy and righteous and honorable. You say, Pastor, this sounds like it could be dull. Oh, my goodness. When you come into the presence of God, you can name it many things, but it's not dull. It's life-giving. Go to that next one, brother. In 1 Chronicles 16, it says, for great is the Lord, he's most worthy of praise. He is feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. It is fitting for the upright to praise God. We want to praise the real God. Do you know that in Buddhism, they have 440 million gods? I know, I taught this class. Over 400 million gods. Anything in the world, they make it a god. And there's a lot of people made a lot of idols, don't they? But we want to praise God because he's the real thing. He's the real one. He is the one who created this world and the one who will be with us forever in eternity. And then the last thing, number five, we're almost finished. We can bring pleasure to God when we seek him with persistency. This is the audacity of worship. It's to keep on praising him, to keep on worshiping. It says in 1 Thessalonians, be joyful always. Pray continually. Can you see that? Always pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. When the bulb don't work, thank God anyway. I don't know if I did that. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To just keep on praising him. To keep on praising him. You can't come to God too many times. You can't seek God too much. You can't ask God to do too many things. Come to God and just be bold. Come to God and just share your heart. Come to God and trust him. We believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So this is my sermon, bringing pleasure to God through worship. The aim is pleasure for God. The attitude is humility. The act is obedience. The fourth thing, I forget what it was. Now you say, I'm having a hard time right now, Pastor, in my worship service. In my worship. Oh, by the way, worship is something that we do personally and privately. But we also do it publicly and corporately. You see, we worship God ourselves, but we worship with other believers. It says in the book of Hebrews to spur one another on. I believe that's through worship. We worship God. There's somebody here who's had a rough week this week. There's somebody here who's been blessed. The one that's blessed need to just praise God. That'll help lift up the person who's gone through a hard time. So if you're going through a hard time, let me give you five things to do. And I want to ask you to do this as a habit over the next 21 days. It says it takes 21 days to create a habit. This is going to bless your worship of God. Number one, read God's word until he speaks to you. The great missionary or the great philanthropist, George Mueller, when he read the Bible, he read till God spoke to him, however long that took. Read till God speaks to you. Repent of any sins that God brings to your mind. The word is light, and the word is going to reveal anything in us that's not light. Repent. It's don't feel bad about repenting. Repenting is what God wants us to do. We're not perfect yet. After you repent, rejoice in who God is and what he's done. Number four, respond to God's word with obedience. Obey. Obey. Whatever he tells you to do. It might kind of sound crazy, but God wants you to do it. And then repeat this daily until it becomes a habit. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's worship. Let's worship. Lord, we come to you, and we've read your word today. And your word is true, and it's perfect. And Lord, it is light, and it shines in a world of darkness. And it exposes sin. It says in John chapter 3, how you came, Jesus, to bring light into the world, but the world hated that light. They'd rather live in darkness. They didn't want the light because it exposed their sin. Lord, we're not the world. We're your children. And God, we pray that you would open our hearts and help us to learn more about you, to more about ourselves. Lord, help us to worship you. Lord, help us to bring you pleasure. Lord, let us show by the quantity and the quality of our worship how much we value you. Lord, let us acknowledge you. Let us have that intimacy like a husband and wife. The intimacy that can't be duplicated in any other way. The intimacy that brings life. Lord, let us have that with you. We're going to just wait one moment on the Lord. Let you respond to him. I don't know what God has said to you today, but I trust God that he's worked through this sermon, not because I preached it, because it was your word. And today, God is speaking. What kind of relationship do you have with him? Don't let the enemy distract you. Seek him. If you're troubled, seek him. If you're concerned, seek him. If you're fearful, seek him. Come unto the Lord. Come to him. Draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. Seek him. If you seek him with all your heart, you'll be found. You'll be found. He's not hiding. Is God speaking to anyone's heart today? Do you need Jesus? If you do, just come to the altar, stand. This altar is a thing behind me. And I'll pray with you, or some others will pray with you. Today is a day to experience God in His fullness. Don't waste that opportunity. It's here. It's a privilege. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Is there anyone that would say, Pastor Eddie, would you pray for me this week? You don't have to know what it is, but I just need your help. I need the Lord's help. Pray for me. Just lift your hand up and I'll be praying for you this week. All right, I see several hands. Yes, I do. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We love you, Lord. God, I add my hand to that group. I need you, Lord. I need you. I don't want to be satisfied where I'm at. I want to keep getting closer. In your name we pray.